going on down there?
Welcome one and all to WTF at TFW's first shot at convention coverage, pre-convention coverage. I've decided I'd like to talk to people who run conventions in order to get the word out for everyone else out there who may want to go and hang out with like-minded Transformers fans. So this first one is going to be talking about CyberCon, the Cybertronian Conference of 2010, quote-unquote, slag happens. And with me here is the organizer, Greg Gaub. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
So, I was going to ask you, basically, to start off, what is CyberCon?
it's a gathering of Transformers fans. It's kind of developed from just a bunch of local friends getting together and having a barbecue and going on toy runs to having people from far and wide that are willing to come and basically hang out in the same room all day. And I got some dealers to come so that they don't have to go on toy runs. So everybody just hangs out in the same place all day. It's kind of like a miniature BotCon the way it used to be.
That's cool. I like it when I hear about the non-BotCon conventions that grew from basically local meets. I think that the Canadian one, TransformersCon, had a similar thing. So would you say your growth has been kind of steady, or has it did it go up with the live-action movies, or has it kind of peaked off?
I was actually surprised that there wasn't a big jump in attendance when the live-action movies came out. So it's actually been fairly steady and slow. The way that I like it, the biggest jump was from when we were in my house having a barbecue to when we had a meeting hall and, you know, invited people from all over. That was the big jump. But from there, it was, you know, each year was 10 or 15 more people, basically.
Mm-hmm. On the bright side, that does keep it from getting the BotCon syndrome of getting just out of control and more of a kind of event than a meetup.
Which I actively avoid. The one and only BotCon that I went to was the Hartman's Last in 2004, and I loved it tremendously, and even that was bigger than I would ever want to get. I'm more like, I never went to any, but I read a lot of stories about them, but I'm more like the original BotCons, you know, when the Hartman's just started it, and when, other people had run it for like a year here and a year there. That's the small kind of thing that I want it to be.
That's part of why I wanted to do this little interview, because I enjoy BotCon, but I always tell people BotCon is kind of like a theme park ride. Like, you go there to have your senses completely overwhelmed. You don't really go there to hang out with people during the convention.
Except in line.
Yeah, exactly. You make friends in line. Then you do about 50 things in the space of the amount of time it would take to normally do 20 things. And then suddenly you're like, okay, I'm going to go to the bar now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fun, like
a
roller coaster.
We pack a lot of stuff in, but it's still only, you know, 8 hours, 7 hours, actually, 10 to 5. You know, we got game contests and transforming contests and trivia contests and, you know, an auction of some sort and raffle door prizes. And we try to put a lot in there, but I think for the most part, since it's, you know, we'll do what you want to do, and it's all in the same room. You're not having to go from one room to the next and, you know, well, where is this next thing happening and what time does it start? Because everybody's in the same big room, and, you know, I get a microphone and I say, okay, we're going to do this now. If you're participating in this, then come over here and participate.
And it also means you don't, you haven't hit that next level. The big clue that you've hit the crazy BotCon levels when you're double booking things.
So, oh, yeah. No, never.
I was just looking through your schedule. I like that you've got Beast Wars Trans Metals and the Armada board game running.
Yeah, the board games kind of crept in and have gotten more, you know, like every year they come out with another Transformers-related board game of some sort, you know. Mm-hmm. So we got the original Armada board game and then Stratego, and there's even the Transformers chess set. I have the movie one. But so now the board games are actually more of a table with board games on it, and people will just play those if they're, you know, not otherwise doing anything else. They'll just go sit and play board games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the kind of thing that I really enjoy at the more social conventions. It's just like the social activities like board games and stuff where you gotta you sit down with people and you play a game with people. You share quips during the game.
CypCon is totally social. If it wasn't as social as it is, if it ever becomes less social, then I'll stop doing it, because the whole point is for people to come and hang out and enjoy each other's company, mm-hmm. and knowing that everybody there understands where they're coming from, what they're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm looking through the schedule still. This is how much prep work I've done.
It's okay by me.
In the lunch, I see that your registration fee includes the cost of pizza or sandwiches and beverages.
Oh yeah, we bring coolers full of beverages covered with ice so that people have cold beverages at lunchtime, and we order from a local pizza retailer of some sort. We've done Domino's and did Papa Murphy's, and at lunchtime we've got a couple of dozen pizzas. Last year it was crazy how many pizzas there were, and then usually my lovely wife runs off to Costco and gets a couple of those big platters of like croissant sandwiches and rolled up sandwiches and stuff for people who don't want pizza.
Nice. Also looking through here, the art table. Have you guys had fairly good turnout for art displays so far?
The first couple of years that we did the art display were pretty good, but I kind of slacked off on making a big deal about it and making sure that there was a reason to do it other than to show off. Mm-hmm. But there's usually something there's usually somebody showing something off on the art table. Like there's a picture of somebody did a welded up prime head out of like rusted metal.
Ooh, wow.
It was huge, but it was so awesome. You know, it was sharp, so we had to put do not touch, people running away with tetanus or something. Lego creations, my son is loves his Legos and Transformers. So he usually does a Lego thing. And one guy did this huge, Lego, Unicron or something. It's just, whatever people bring and want to show off, and everybody appreciates seeing them.
That's cool. That's cool. And also with your bullet point of TF rarities, have people brought by some interesting stuff to display in that regard?
Oh, yeah. There was one time Richard Vice Grip X, my cohort for a few years, brought his entire jazz collection. And, he's a jazz fanatic, and so he had everything. He had like the Cookie Crisp box that had jazz advertisement on it, and just everything that had anything to do at all with jazz, from 1984 to present was on this display, and it was just, I didn't know half of the stuff existed, so everybody got a kick out of that. One year, one of the people brought half a table full of rare Japanese toys. And, again, a lot of stuff that nobody's ever seen, especially the kids.
That's great. That's one of the things I find really fun about conventions is not so much hitting the dealer room and buying the crazy things you've never seen before, but at least getting to see some of that stuff in person.
Yeah, it was kind of like a miniature of the Tony Prito display at 2004. You remember that? Huge yeah. ring of tables with everything ever made. I was like, oh my goodness. It looked like so much less than I thought there would be when it's all spread out like that, though.
Yeah. I did enjoy how the Prito display at that BlockCon, I remember overnight, like one day it looked like it did. The next day there was one more lucky draw in it and one less lucky draw at the Japanese guy's table.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you went to the table, bought it, just put it right in the display. Good man.
Put it right in the display. Yep. That was awesome.
With the video screenings, do you guys just have like one screen running with some, some of the DVDs out now, or do you have a couple screens?
Pretty much one big screen at the end of the room with a projector hooked up to usually a PlayStation 2 that does the video game duty later on. Mm-hmm. And so the whole time there's just a DVD of something Transformers in there, sometimes it's Beast Wars, Armada, the movie or even video that I did a while ago of past CybeCons, just something for people to watch until the video game time rolls around. And then that's pretty much what happens there for the next, hour or so for whatever that takes.
Oh, so folks play the Transmetals tournament on the projector?
Oh yeah, that's a fun tournament. It's such a simple game, but it's so much fun, and everybody gets to play, and you know, little kids and play against the other kids, and then the adults play against the adults, and you know, there's so many really close matches. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys beating up on each other on the video game.
I still have to sit down with one of those iterations of that game for a lengthy period of time. I kind of missed that one. My only Beast Wars gaming experience was that first PlayStation game with the to be in Beast Wars 90% or Beast Mode 90% of the time.
Yeah, that game's a waste of time. But the Transmetals one, it's not, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of story out of it. But you know, it's a fighter, so you know, what else do you expect? You know, but it's fun to transform. They even have their the third mode, you know, the flying around or rolling around mode, and you get to roll around and you know, shoot whatever special weapon they have when you get the, it's a fun game. It's brainless, but it's fun.
I always liked that game for taking the time to go like, hey, you know that Transmetal Pterosaur? It's actually, it might be him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's also one of the cool things about that game is they have hidden characters that you unlock, right? Either with codes or by finishing the game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I forget who the fan was, but I know that a Transformers fan did the voice for the Windrazer, the Silverbolt recolor character was a BotCon exclusive. So there's a BotCon exclusive toy is one of the unlockables, and a fan did the voiceover for it.
That's awesome, especially considering back when the game came out, it wasn't. There weren't quite as many outspoken Transformers fans in game development that I could recall. Back then,
it was Ben Yee, pretty much.
Just moving along down the list of info we can share here. The registration cost right now, I believe, is the normal price. So it's a $10 pre-registration.
$10. That's right. Yep. $10 for attendees and $30 for dealers. We're doing pretty good on dealers this year so far. We've got a few tables left, but even if nobody else signs up for dealers, we got a good selection of dealers. The early bird prices were $5 less, and door prices are going to be $5 more than current prices. Mm-hmm. But mainly that's just to encourage people, you know, I don't want extra money. I encourage people to do the early bird prices because I want them to dedicate early so that I know in advance how many people I'm preparing for. And that's even more important the closer it gets. You know, I'd much rather have absolutely nobody paying at the door simply because I know that not only will I have that money in the bank in order to pay for the room costs, you know, $700, $800 for just the room, but also I'll know exactly how much pizza to get and not have a bunch of wasted pizza and you know, how many, if we have freebies to give out, how much of that I'll need to have and all that stuff.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Another reason why I wanted to interview you was I haven't run a convention myself, but I have a few friends who are on staff at TFCon, and I know how difficult it can be, especially if people don't pre-register, to plan out for numbers, because if you end up with this big kind of variable number of, you know, are we going to get an extra, like, I guess in your case, like, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 people showing up all of a sudden, is it going to outcapacitate the room? Is there going to be enough for everyone? So I really see where you're coming from with that. Pre-registration is aside from securing your own vacation, it is helpful to the people running the thing you're going to vacation at.
Yeah. Well, it's also there are legalities in play as well, because I'm running it basically as a bunch of friends getting together and hanging out and kind of a slash garage sale, rummage sale kind of thing going on. So I have to make sure that everybody's pre-registered. That's why pre-registration is required. You can pay at the door if you want to, but you got to let me know that you're planning to come so that I have your name on a list of people.
And speaking of dealer tables, are there any, are there any dealers that you'd want to mention are coming that might encourage some folks to want to check it out if they're in the area?
Well, the people who are in the area who've been before will recognize some of the dealers. We do have a lot of new, personal, you know, individual dealers rather than stores. Like in the past, we've had, like two or three local hobby toy collector stores come down. But this year we've got way more individual collectors selling some of their old collection than before. So I think we're going to see a lot of selection in older merchandise, whereas the stores generally bring stuff that have recently been on the shelves or have just hit the shelves. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot more people with their old stuff that they don't want anymore selling that off. So people looking for older stuff that they never got will probably have a better chance of finding it this year.
That's cool. So you get a nice range of parity between vintage and the new. That's it's quite a draw, I think, because sometimes at the bigger conventions, as great as it is to have the large web stores there in person with their credit card machines to help you lose more money faster, they also don't tend to have much vintage stuff. And I know there have been BotCons in past where some folks actually brought up the lack of vintage anything outside of some of the parts tables. Or at least the lack of the majority.
Cash.
Yeah. I was also seeing your silent auction and raffle. Can you reveal any info about what may be in that block, or is that a surprise for the show?
That's a surprise for me. the silent auction and when we do a live auction and raffle, those are almost all pretty much donated by people who want to donate. You know, sometimes dealers will chip in an item or two, or mm-hmm. You know, somebody scores a cheap lot of artifacts or toys that they got duplicates of or whatever, and they'll just donate them, and that goes straight to the raffle table. If it's something really cool, then we'll put it on the auction table,
mm-hmm.
and that's basically to help again to help cover my costs. If I end up having break even before that happens, then everything is raffled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty much just donations.
Okay. I always enjoy those kind of things because a lot of folks who get dealer tables, I like seeing where the random acts of generosity come from. Like they'll sometimes at BotCon, for instance, sometimes you'll have like just a new Japanese toy get thrown in there, and sometimes you'll have a t-shirt get thrown in there, and you're kind of like, when you get your raffle ticket in there, you're kind of like, I really hope they pull it for one of those and not the other. So the the more personal nature, it seems, that exists at CybeCon would probably make the raffle a bit more enticing.
It's funny because, you know, we give out so many tickets to make sure everybody has, you know, good chances to get something cool. A lot of times we'll end up pulling tickets and nobody responds, you know, like because, you know, for whatever reason, that person isn't paying attention, or they left early, or they're out to lunch, or whatever the reason they're not there to hear their number called.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pulling numbers and pulling numbers and pulling numbers until somebody comes up. And then, you know, half the time we'll just say, okay, what do you want? You know, take your pick from all this stuff here on the table. You know, one thing, go ahead and just pick it.
Mm. I also had a personal question. I noticed the toy transforming tournament. Ever since I was a kid, I always thought that would be the best idea ever, and clearly some other folks were like-minded. I'm sure you don't want to reveal what the toys in question are so people can't train, but what have some of the previous ones been if you've run this in past?
Well, you know, a lot like the auction, it's something that I don't know until often, you know, a few weeks ahead of time. Basically, what I'll do is grab some peg warmers, you know, if there's some really good deal going on, you know, on clearance, then I'll pick up, you know, two easy to transform toys and two more difficult to transform toys for the kids and the adult classes. I'll usually actually go ahead and post the actual toy on my website somewhere so that people who are vigilant can see in advance what toy it's going to be. And, you know, it's not always, you know, the prize for winning is to get the toy itself. So a lot of the hardcore collectors already have the toy. So it's just mm-hmm. a prestige thing, you know, I'm the champion this year. And then they'll turn around and give the toy that they won to some kid at the show who's gazing longingly at these toys that he can't possibly buy. So that's really fun is, you know, when one of the winners turns around and says, here, kid, you know, take this.
Yeah. That's awesome. I guess one of the bright sides is around about the time this is running, you'll you may have a nice selection of Revenge of the Fallen and newer stuff to choose from, and all of that has some options for very tricky engineering if you choose to be cruel.
Sometimes I choose to be cruel. One year I did Movie Jazz Deluxe. So it was like 2007 or 2008. And that toy is just a pain in the you-know-what to transform, because they have to, you know, it has to look like the end of the transformation sequence, you know, like on the instructions. And I have the instructions out so people can refer to them. And they basically have to have the toy completely done with any weapons in appropriate hands and standing without falling over. And a lot of times a winner wins because he happened to get the feet in the right position that it's not falling over, but the guy who finished transforming first, the thing keeps falling back or forward, so he loses.
I like that, because there's a lot of toys like Jazz where, like, the bulk of it you might think, oh, you know, I'll just flip this, and this. And it's like, yeah, now you got to deal with the hood. Make them look like arms. Like, oh, yeah, crap.
Or no, that flap needs to be folded back. You missed that. Sorry, you fail. And we'll usually have an example toy, you know, fully transformed so that they can do a quick, you know, comparison. But sometimes we'll be saying, nope, not done. And they're going, what? Oh, crap. And then they, you know, do whatever they forgot to do. Meanwhile, the guy next to him has finished transforming and is in the middle of propping it up so it doesn't fall over. And he's like, ah, no.
I was going to say, I guess it's a year out of date now, but I'm sure a fun one for that might have been just throwing someone right into the leader class Prime from Revenge of the Fallen.
No,
go
well,
for
the trick
it.
The trick is finding the toy cheap enough that I can afford to just give it away to the winners. So
yeah,
if I ever saw leader class Prime, you know, Revenge of the Fallen leader class Prime for, you know, $10 or $15, then I'd do it, and that would just be out of spite, you know, or something. I don't know, but it's usually not too hard, but, you know, has some fiddly bits for the adults, and then the kids' toys are usually pretty simple, you know, either a scout or a basic, even a legends, depending on if it's not too easy.
I'm gonna mention with Leader Prime, you can always add in, like, you get plus 5 seconds added to your time every time he says "I am Optimus Prime" while you're transforming.
Oh, penalty! Boop.
Yeah, put on a penalty. It's like, you got to do this carefully, too.
Stop pushing the button. Oh, you just lost 30 seconds, dude. That's too bad. So, actually, the first year that we did it, we did use a timer, and it was totally speed. Mm-hmm. But that was such a hassle, you know, and you're always, you know, well, did he actually do it at that time, or did I click the button too soon or too late or whatever? So now it's totally head-to-head and, you know, single elimination tournament, you know, so people go head-to-head. Whoever's robot doesn't fall over first is the winner of that round, and then they move on to the next round and the next round. So it gets faster and faster because they've had practice as they move up the tournament. And by the end, it's just crazy how fast these guys are transforming the toys. It's just amazing.
It sounds like the kind of thing that would be fun to put together a video montage of, just like the transforming.
I'm such a slacker. I have video from 2006 when Crazy Steve came out. He was my videographer and photographer. He used up 3 90-minute digital videotapes that I still haven't sat down and started capturing and editing. You know, my Mac ran out of hard drive space because I had so much in there, and I didn't have it divided up in small enough pieces to be able to offload it to my external hard drive. It kept saying, oh no, the file's too big to move. It was like, ah, crap. So I ended up giving up on it. But one of these days, you know, I'll get back to that. And I've got just a lot of really great Transformers contest footage that he got. He pretty much got every single match, kids and adults. And so I can do this, you know, progression. So you'll see, you know, the guy who's at the very beginning, you know, the guy who ends up going from start to finish, you'll see at the beginning, you know, he's taking, you know, you could watch the clock, you know, I'll probably have to speed it up just so it's not so boring. But then towards the end, it's, you know, like less than 10 or 15 seconds that he's doing that whole transformation.
That would be a very cool video to see, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess some inspiration might be. I'm sure a lot of folks out there listening or interested in the con would enjoy seeing that kind of montage. Don't worry too much though about how long you're taking. I mean, I shot lots of convention footage at 2008 and 2009 that I still haven't actually edited.
So all right, so same I get your sympathy then.
I went to TFCon 2008, and it took me until the, I think, 5 minutes before TFCon 2009 started to finish editing the footage from the previous year. I was actually sitting in the hotel lobby with people standing over my shoulder going, like, you've got 10 minutes left. It's like, all right, I'm doing it.
I don't have that, fortunately, but I do feel that every now and then, this kind of, you know, demon over my shoulder. Oh, geez, you really got to do that. You know, Crazy Steve spent so much time getting all that footage, taking all those pictures. You got to do them right, you know.
I guess if you'd like any more inspiration, I'm sure anyone who's listening to this could post in the discussion thread whether or not they'd be interested.
Actually, I do have the adult transforming contest montage mostly done. That was what I ended up running into space issues on, so I might go ahead and just post that somewhere.
That would be very cool. So overall, Cybcon, it's I guess with dealer setup, it's 9 a.m., but 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. on
10 to 5. Yeah, dealer breakdown is 5 to 6.
I keep including the dealers. This is going out to all the dealers out there. 9 till 6.
There you go. 9 to 6. There you go.
But for everyone else, 10 till 5, Saturday, August 21st, 2010, by the way, over in Tacoma, Washington. So that's whereabouts is that? Let me check. I'm horrible with my U.S. geography because I'm up in Canada. But
it's about an hour south of Seattle. So if you fly into Seattle, if you're a nutcase coming from far away, you're looking at about an hour drive from Seattle to Tacoma. Actually, from SeaTac Airport, it's probably only about 45 minutes.
Okay. One reason why I also got interested in Cybcon, aside from wanting to get out to all the convention folks, is one of the listeners PM'd me saying, "Hey, I know you're in BC. There's a convention in Washington." I was like, "What?"
So, yeah, you can totally come down. We've had people come from farther away than you. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of friends in BC that I keep trying to. You know, come on, dude, come on. You know, you can do it. It's not that far. You know, be a great day. You know, but you know, for whatever reason, they don't come down.
Well, if they're on the mainland, they still got no excuse. They don't have to take a ferry.
Actually, I think he might be in Vancouver, not in Victoria. So
yeah, no excuse. He could just drive.
You just drive down. Oh, there's the border, and I don't know if it's worth it. Anybody who says I don't know if coming to a convention is worth it needs to get, you know, I don't know, hazed.
Yeah, I do want to throw out there. I've always read the sentiment from folks who are like, "Oh, what's the point of going to a convention?" Or there have been folks who have said, you know, they're going to BotCon. They're like, I don't want to hang out with people. I just want to go to the dealer room." And I always go like, "Man, you obviously either haven't been to a convention or you just have no soul."
Yeah, even BotCon is still a very social thing. You know, even though I see so much about the dealer room and Hasbro's displays and all that, I know deep down it's still a very social thing. So, you know, anybody who doesn't want to go and hang out with more Transformers fans than they can count, I don't know.
Yeah, well, even the antisocial. Dealer room. Even the dealer room and the Hasbro display, like they look cool, but what they are is people gather around them and then or gather in them and then start talking to each other.
Yeah, so, talking about, "Oh, dude, did you see that? Oh, yeah, that was so sweet. I'm totally buying that."
Yeah, or even if we're kind of heckling some stuff, like we're walking around and we're like, "Oh, holy crap! It's BotCon 2009 2009 and hey, Big Bad Toy Store has Voyager the Fallen. I didn't know that was out. Oh, it's $45. Ha ha ha." That was good times. Or I think I convinced a friend of mine to overspend on a Mixmaster that happened to be there. That's another part of the fun of dealer rooms is not so much spending money yourself, but causing other people to spend money.
I couldn't afford that, but dude, you totally could. That would be awesome up on your shelf. Oh, it'd go right next to so and so. Oh man, you should totally get that.
Well, back when the Primus toy was new, myself and another friend of mine. There's a TFW staff member named Boardwise. We were hanging out with him in the dealer room, and he kept eyeing that Primus. He's from Scotland, and he was like, I kind of want it, but I probably can't fit it in my luggage. And so over the course of, I think, a day and a half, a couple of us just kind of like browbeat him into buying it through highly unsubtle persuasion. Constant highly unsubtle persuasion.
Mm-hmm. Could he fit it in his luggage?
Oh, basically, he was like, the box is so big. I'm like, yeah, but man, the toy is not as big as the box. And if you fold him up into his planet mode, he's the size of a beach ball.
Oh, yeah, a little tiny beach ball, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember actually from BotCon 2004 when I actually went, I bought a lot of toys and ended up sending a box home, you know, because they had the boxing service there, shipping right there outside the dealer room. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the last day, you know, the morning of my departure, I go in and, you know, dealers are starting to pack up and there was the Korean Triptychon variation and I'm like, I had been eyeing it, you know, and it was mm-hmm. it was just beyond the amount I was willing to spend because it wasn't the real Triptychon, but it was close enough for me. And I go in and I make the guy an offer, and he took it. And I had this big toy, but I had already shipped off all my other toys, so I had to take this thing on the plane, you know, in just this huge box, you know, and all I had was carry-ons. I had, like, you know, stow my luggage up above and then put the toy under the seat in front of me and stuff, and the box just got beat all up. But oh, it was man. Fun.
Yeah, I've had that experience with Sono Kong toys. The first time I encountered them, I was on a school trip in Japan, and we got to go shopping briefly in a stopover in Korea, and I was all into Brave toys, and I said, oh, man, they have Brave toys here. I'll buy two of them. And the boxes were about as big as I was, and immediately I was that was kind of what shocked me out of my whole thing of keeping foreign boxes. I was like, yeah, I like foreign boxes, but these Korean boxes, it's just not possible. Yep. They go for mass on those.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that the Triptychon box is no longer in my garage.
All right, well, CybeCon 2010, it sounds like it's a very good time. If you're a West Coast fan, it shouldn't be too much trouble to head over there. And people who are a lot farther away from the West Coast head over there, it sounds like. So if you want to take a day out in August, it sounds like it's a good time. So
don't miss it.
Yeah, register now.
Register now and come.
You'll save $5 if you register and pay now.
$5 that could buy a toy.
So what if you go there and they got, like, you know, you go there like, man, somehow I have never found Scalpel and I wish to buy Scalpel at CybeCon. Someone might have them for $5.
But I've spent that on the door cost because I didn't pay in advance. Woe is me.
Yeah, you'll be sitting there. You'll be drowning your sorrows in pizza. It'll probably mess up your game in Transmetals.
Yeah. Bad. It will be a sorrowful, sorrowful day. But at least you'll be able to commiserate with other Transformer fans.
Exactly. All right. Well, it's been very fun talking to you.
I've had a blast.
Over here in the WTF studios with the cushy green room and everything.
Yeah, I bet it's real nice.
All right. Well, I guess I'll talk to you later. Possibly see you at CybeCon.
Cool.
For all my talking about how important it is to pre-register, I am a horrible last-minute person. So
there's many, many who come to site. There are some that I just know, you know, they'll register and say they're going to pay by PayPal, but I know that they're not. They're going to pay at the door. You know, sometimes even early birds, you know, they register right when they get the notice and say they're going to pay by PayPal, and then, you know, at the door, I'm like, okay, dude, you know, $15. Sorry about that.
At least if it's predictable, you know, it'll make for some good times.
That's true. You should come. I'd like to shake your hand.
I would very much like to, and I probably can. But
awesome.
I got to see how June plays out before I can plan out my August.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
But yeah, it's been good, and just getting the word out there. Anyone else out there who runs a convention of notable size or prestige, like the legendary CybeCon.
Legendary.
That's right. The legendary Cybertronian conference slag happens. If you'd like to come on the podcast and talk about your convention, I am totally up for talking about your convention. I guess if I was going to say there was a prereq, it would be, please tell me that you've run one already. For instance, CybeCon, there have been CybeCons.
Many CybeCons.
There is a sense of security about CybeCon.
It shall exist.
Outside of that, though, you know, if you're running your second or third or fourth or fifth annual insert con, let me know. I'd love to talk to you. And I guess until next time, this has been Evangelist of WTF at TFW. That has been Greg Gaub of CybeCon. http://www.ggaub.com/tf/cybecon2010.html.
Or just search for Greg Gaub's Transformers.
You do that too. I guess you could just Google that. Yeah. I just wanted to say that the URL. I was excited about that since we started.
It was long. I'll have to shorten that up.
All right. Well, I'll catch you later, and I'll catch you later, listener. I was pointing at the listener there.
I can see it.
Add all that up. I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators now here to stay.